anti-war demonstrators protest U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War.
If this 1960s newsreel sounds dramatic, it's because the times were different and America was in tumult.
The estimated 125,000 Manhattan marchers include students, housewives, beatnik poets, doctors, businessmen, teachers, priests, and nuns. Makeup and costumes were bizarre.
This is an NBC News Hotline special report. Here is Don Hickman in Memphis.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was shot outside a Memphis motel this afternoon. His condition is not known at this time.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible?
It could.
Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? It is possible. He has. Not only Senator Kennedy. Oh my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot.
The injunction has been imposed as a result of this weekend's campus disorders. This afternoon, four persons, including two women, were shot and killed on the campus during renewed demonstrations involving hundreds of students.
America was sending its boys to Vietnam, and it was convulsing at home. It seemed that the conventions of American race, gender, class, and power were all being challenged at once. The debates played out and the tensions surfaced in one place in particular, the college campus. Visit a college quad today, and you'd be hard-pressed to find evidence of what happened on so many of them back in the 1960s. Anita Harris will never forget. She was among the young Americans who attended college during the hottest years of the decade. But unlike many of her fellow students, she kept a diary. She had the goal of writing a book one day, and now she has. It's called Ithaca Diaries, and in it, Anita wrestles with what it was like to be a good girl at Cornell University in a tough time. She would have called the book Gidget Goes to the Revolution if her publisher would have let her, because she felt like Gidget.
When I started college in 1966, I was carrying the pink suitcase that my Uncle Leon gave me for my bat mitzvah. And at first, it was all boys and frats and football games. But then the first guy tore up his draft card. There were all kinds of demonstrations, and eventually sort of all hell broke loose. At the university, nationally and internationally, students were demonstrating and even rioting all over the world. So it really tells the story of me going through that over the four-year period, eventually winding up on graduation day, leading a demonstration against the military.
So the first lessons we learn as we move into college, I think, are social lessons. What did you learn?
I learned that freshmen were very valued. One guy told me that he only dated freshmen because it was before their calves got big from hiking on the hills. And so in a way, I was fending off guys, but it was also the beginning of the sexual revolution. The pill was now available, and it was a tremendous age of transition. The problem was that abortion was still illegal, and birth control, you really needed a prescription, and not all of the doctors in the health clinic were on board. It was their choice whether to give birth control pills to unmarried women.
And just to add to kind of the confusion of the time, this is a time also of parietals, which you say are the rules within the walls. And the rules were different for boys on campus, men on campus versus girls or women. The guys could have in women to their dorms. The women, not so much.
Not so much. There was a rule my freshman year, 3 feet on the floor.
For two people.
For two people, yeah. So, yeah, nobody had actually their own 3 feet. But 3 feet on the floor, if you had a boy over in the main lobby, no boys could go upstairs at all. Someone in the evenings would come along and police and make sure there was no hanky-panky.
So as you go through this kind of social experience, what happens on campus that instantly shakes you up and brings you more into the wider world?
It really started my freshman year. I was kind of a student council type, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll go and find out what's up with that. And at this meeting were these guys who were already talking about abolishing student government with the idea of when the revolution came, they were going to smash the state.
What revolution?
The revolution, meaning when the workers took over the state, when the people really were in charge, this was going to be the revolution. I would say one of the really important moments was when a guy named Bruce Dantzis tore his draft card up.
This is a student.
He was a student, and he was really the first at Cornell to do that. He eventually went to jail. But that was a really shocking moment for me. And at that time, there were a lot of things going on outside the university. One of the really big things was the Vietnam War. All men of draft age were subject to the draft. So that was a big impetus for protests among those who did not believe that the U.S. should be in Vietnam. Another thing that was going on, huge civil rights, the growth of the feminist movement, first beginnings of gay rights were all going on. Martin Luther King was shot. Bobby Kennedy was shot. Black power had really, you know, in 68, the cities were burning. 69, I was in a seminar with maybe 12 other students. It was half white, half African-American. That was the semester that more than 120 Afro-American students ended up taking over the student union building and emerging with rifles. And the incident that precipitated that takeover was somebody burned a cross on the porch of the Black Women's Co-op. There was a huge standoff. Police were amassed from everywhere. It was really a very traumatic time for me and for the university, I would say.
And how did you at that point decide that what these students were doing was something that you wanted to protect them for? That this was this, I mean, this is an astounding event, and these were armed students taking over a student building with the potential of shooting anybody around them, including you. How did you decide that this is something that you wanted to invest yourself in protecting them?
I didn't know that I would really be defending them, but I considered them my friends, and I didn't want anything bad to happen to them. So I thought, I'll put my body there, much as my 105 pounds can do to protect them, just to sort of take a stand.
At what point do you feel like your outlook changed and you became part of this movement?
I guess I would say there was a demonstration in Washington in the fall of 1969, and I had just felt, I think, betwixt and between. This was a huge demonstration against the war in Vietnam. And seeing those, I don't know how many people, 100,000 people, made me feel a real sense of solidarity.
So as you're going through this kind of turmoil, you're going through a personal turmoil as well, and expansion. At one point, you go to Israel, and you have several aims, romantic, et cetera. And this is such a formative period, but a really unsettling period. I mean, you say it's like the world was having a nervous breakdown around you.
I was saying I was having a nervous breakdown
around the world
when the world was doing this. Looking back, I thought, oh, you know, I was so upset all the time. I was depressed. I was this. But going back, reading those diaries, I could see the humor. I mean, I'm the only person probably who's going to admit that she joined Students for a Democratic Society because I was not interested in politics. This goes back to the Gidget goes to the revolution theme. But I really didn't like politics very much.
Well,
but
you thought the cute guys were members and that's why you were there?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought I would be an artist and I would have a husband who would take care of all that for me. And really, those were the cute guys.
So looking back at your diaries, and it's really amazing that you kept a journal, basically, of what was going on in your life and also letters that you wrote your parents, things that your friends said and did. And you did a lot of fact-checking on this as well. How does it feel now, looking back? I mean, how do you think all of that has changed you and made you the person, the writer that you are today?
I think that transformation has been ongoing. And one reason that I wanted to write the book was to understand what had happened and how it still affects me today. And to this day, I think back to the events of that time. They still give me courage. They gave me the courage to start a newspaper and become a journalist. They gave me the courage to fight for social change through my work and my writing. They gave me the courage to work with students to help them understand better their own place in the world.
Anita Harris's new book is called Ithaca Diaries, Coming of Age in the 1960s. Thank you for telling us about your coming of age as the country came of age. Anita, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.